everyone. We're already in session, so thank you for your patience. We ran over just a little bit, and we'll continue at the end of the meeting. So item three, building update.
Hi, everybody. For the sake of time, I'm going to go through this somewhat quickly, but not too fast. This is what we're looking at here is our current high school. We're getting ready to start. We're in the planning phases, but we're going to start the renovation project of this building. Right now, we look at this is our current cafeteria, fancy laser pointer. So the serving line is right here, and all of the seating is in this area. And comparing to the current middle school now, when they move up here, there's pretty much no way we can serve as many lunches as they do down there with as many students in the current configuration. So in looking in this space on this bottom floor, we're trying to figure out how can we maximize our space. So if you look at all these dotted lines, those denote areas that we're going to demo. We're going to take those out to try to open this space up to move the serving line out into what's now the seating area of the high school. And that would allow us to, using the classrooms across the hall, put some seating area over there. So when the demo project part of it is done, we're going to have a much more open space. And I got one more slide to show that's kind of the what we think the configuration will look like. But this is going to be really nice. There'll be an overhead door here, so we can still kind of close off the space. What we're going to add here is a kind of a dry storage area. But it opens up the space, so we'll have a real nice travel path. So when we put our seating in and our new serving lines, this is what it'll look like. So we'll have two different serving lines here. We have three cashier stations. A lot more storage than what they have in this building right now for food service. They kind of find closets in areas. There's a freezer that will go right here that's already in the building. It was designed for that area, but because of the way the high school uses it, they actually have it in what's up called the senior cafeteria. So that will go down in here. The only thing we're a little worried about is that elevator that's there. We might have to do a little reconfiguring of that to provide adequate space. But we've got the elevator company coming down soon to check that out and see what our best option is. But if you think here, where did that go? Wrong button. We'll now have a travel pattern of kids coming down here, getting their lunch, and they can come to one of these two stations and then into the cafeteria, or they can come down these steps, this serving line, hit these two and come out, and we'll have a nice travel pattern in and a nice travel pattern out. There's a few questions we have to ask here, you know, in terms of work. The great thing is we have good relationships with our contractors. Some of this work our staff is going to do what they're capable of, and then some we're going to be subbing out. That's going to help us keep the cost down, as well as get the project along. The timeline for this, and we were really on a rapid path. We want to start this. We want to get this done this summer, because if we can get this area here, the high school can still use it. But that's going to allow us to move the high school and middle school students at the same time. What that does is that gives us the ability then to start our renovation projects at our current middle school. So that we'll have, there's more to do there in terms of a scale. So that allows us more time to get through that project so that at the start of the 17-18 school year, we can start our elementaries in their new buildings and we can be out of Cornerstone and Grill, which is, you know, it's a rapid path for this summer for this building, but it's going to provide a much better learning environment for our elementaries as we go forward. That's pretty much the general scope of the renovation project. Right now we're currently, hopefully working with construction manager tonight, and basically we're going to be going out to bid for a lot of the pieces and parts here to really get that process in motion. The big for the board. The big ticket item, or the thing that we really need to get the serving line equipment, the cashier stations ordered, because there's a lead time on those. The rest of this, we should have really no problem getting this done over the summer.
Jake, what is the seating capacity with this new configuration?
Shown right here, I believe this is around 180.
It's 216.
Yeah,
I counted it in the
moment. In this here, I'm thinking because it's 216 and we usually only need about 180 to really 170 to 180, we might be able to take these two tables out. Really what MKC did is they put as many possible seats as they could put in there. But what I've learned, architects are great, they do a great job for us, but you actually start running middle school kids through here, even though they are slightly smaller, they're carrying lunches. You might get a couple tables out of the way and expand that space in there and still have more than enough seating area. Great thing is we own those tables. The tables are here in the building. We've got more tables in this building than what we need, so we'll be able to use the best tables that we have. So all of that looks good. I met with the electrical engineer this morning, actually. We'll have to rerun some electrical lines, obviously, but we won't need to do any new electrical service. We've got more than enough spare in different boxes in different areas. So that's great news. That'll be a huge cost savings, something we were slightly worried about. You start putting in new electrical equipment, you get worried about an older building with electrical service. But we've got more than enough, mainly because the history, which some of you probably know better than me, this used to be, you know, a metal and wood shop over there. So there's a lot of power over there they're not using. That equipment's not there. So in moving the freezer and some of that, we're gonna have enough power in the building to make this happen.
And we'll be fine space-wise with classroom space and everything else that we need?
Yes, according to Mr. Dobbins. Got more than that. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you for that. All right, item 4, students of the month.
Mr. Sackett.
Hey, our student of the month this month is second grader James Stewart. James was nominated by Mrs. Mitchell, our longtime second grade teacher. And before we get into James, I just wanted to acknowledge Mrs. Mitchell for always being an advocate for her students. James is someone she's been really working with for several months now, and keeps coming to me with how great he's doing and his progress. But she's not afraid to stand up for her kids and ask for resources and things. So thank you, Mrs. Mitchell, for always being an advocate for your students here. Tell us a little bit about James.
Okay. James, first of all, it's been an amazing pleasure having you in my class this year. He came in at the beginning of the year. His confidence was a little low. He struggled a little bit with reading, and so some other aspects of school he wasn't as motivated about. But quickly that changed, didn't it? We did a project in social studies and you had Abraham Lincoln, and right there it just, like, I saw the learning in his eyes. It was an at-home project, but he asked if he could have some time at school to work on his project, and I'm not kidding when I say that every second that he had in class, he was on the computer. I told him, whenever you need the computer, you can go back and get on it. He spent all day for a couple weeks on it, didn't you? He took it with him wherever he went. When he went to Mrs. Reed's room, he took it to show her. He was so proud of this, and right then and there, his love for reading completely changed. He loved it, and his love for school, his attitude changed. He wanted to be a part of everything. He volunteered, he participated. Everything right there changed, didn't it? So I have to say that he is one of my math wizards in class. We have to show, when we solve our problems in math, We have to do a lot of reasoning and explain how we got our answers, and so I call in the kids and have them share that. And a lot of times it's, you know, your typical responses of how they got their answer. And James, his answers, I actually have to stop and go through it myself because it's so high level thinking. So his reasonings are always very, very high level. He's very advanced in math. But overall, he's a wonderful student to have. He's, if my door breaks in class, and where's Mr. Bowersox? Is he in here? If he's not in there, James will fix it. If there's a stink bug, James will get it out of the room. Anything, so he's there for me when I need him, huh? So I'm just so proud of him. Like I said, I tell Mr. Sackett all the time, and the kids see it too. The rest of the class, they can't even believe how much James has grown over the school year. So,
yeah, Mr. Bowersox also shared that. Mm-hmm. You commented recently how much you really do enjoy reading now. So we're real proud of you, James. Continue working real hard, buddy.
This is Monet.
Nice job.
As you can tell, I have a whole group with me tonight because we have a very special girl that we are celebrating, Olivia Gray, who's a fourth grader. And I have to say, 3 years ago when I became principal at primary, she just held a special place in my heart. But the people that I have with me just shows what an impact this child has had in our building, because I have Miss G, our custodian, Mrs. Renier, our kindergarten teacher, and Mrs. Gruwell, our fourth grade teacher. And each one of them has a little something they want to say about Olivia and just the impact she has. But I did just find something out last week about her that I didn't know, but she has an incredible voice. So as she moves up through middle school and high school, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from her and her lovely voice. But I'm going to let each one of them talk a little bit about.
So Olivia was one of my K kiddos, and she also has come back every year to be one of my recess helpers and to go from first grade, second grade, third, and fourth, and still commit and come one day every week to the same teacher is huge, and that speaks to Olivia's character. When Olivia was in kindergarten, her smile, and it is still today, just Olivia smile for them, is the best. She decided in kindergarten that she wanted to be a teacher. So we have this thing that if I can hang on, she might just replace Mrs. Renier as kindergarten teacher. So I want you to hear Olivia's teacher voice, because it truly has the inflection that engages all students. And she said, she's one of our announcers. So Olivia, would you just say like a couple lines so they could hear that wonderful voice?
Good morning, staff and students of Norton Primary School. This is Olivia from Miss Burrell's room. Today is May 9th, 2016.
With all of our students, it takes a village. Brother Hunter, Mom, Dad, Carrie, Aunt, Grandma are here. And I have to say that one of the things that just speaks to me so much about Olivia is that she's a Girl Scout, she's a leader, and sometimes as our girls get to fourth grade, they hear maybe a little bit too much about how they look. And thank goodness, that comes second to Olivia. She's all about learning and her brain. She and her family and the Hooper family did a bone marrow drive in honor of my son. I was so excited because sometimes on the weekends out and about in town, I see some kiddos, especially little girls, and they'll say, oh, I was shopping, or oh, I went a pedicure. Well, I saw Olivia a couple weeks ago, and she was getting new chickens. So, that program, I have to tell you, Olivia is just priceless.
Okay. As custodian, I get to see these young people in the halls all the time. And she always has a smile for me, maybe a hug or two. I always see her helping other students. She's just been a pleasure to see from kindergarten to fourth grade, and we're proud of her.
So I always write a couple notes, never end up looking at them, and especially tonight, because everything they said, I think I could reiterate about Olivia. And it's so funny as Mrs. Renier was talking, because I even was thinking, as I was thinking about Olivia, I just thought, she has such, I can just see her in the future doing something where, Olivia, that you're going to lead, you're going to teach in some capacity, even if not in the classroom. And so, as Mrs. Rainier said, she just exuberates that. Olivia is just a kind and caring and sweet person, and I never have to worry about her honesty, her character, and I appreciate that about you, Olivia, and that's going to take you far in life. And her work ethic, she's never afraid to ask a question, but at the same time, she doesn't get mad at me if I say, she says, "What? Why don't I don't know about this one?" And if I say, "You just try it first," she's like, "Okay." So she does all of that. And so, Olivia, we are just honored to have you at Norton Primary, and we couldn't say anything more about her character and especially about her work ethic and her academics as well.
Mrs. Oliveri.
At Cornerstone, we kind of like to begin the year students of the month with a fourth grader, and we like to end the year with a fourth grader. We have chosen Lily Andrade as our fourth grade student of the month. And when I tasked the fourth grade team with selecting a student of the month, they came to a consensus, and within an hour, I had a name on my desk, and I had a write-up about how wonderful she is. All three of my fourth grade teachers actually have the pleasure of working with Lily. Mrs. Coates sends her apologies. She had a family commitment tonight, so she's unable to be here. But I have Mrs. Grubb, who is social studies, and Miss Woolley, who is language arts. And this is Lily Andrade. And I will let them speak a little bit about Lily.
Well, I am a notes person, so I'm going to use my notes here. But kind, friendly, helper, and hard worker are just a few words that come to mind when we think of Lily. Every morning, Lily walks through the door with a smile on her face, and she's shown tremendous growth within the classroom since the beginning of the year. Her proactive ways make her accountable and dependable. We're so proud of her work ethic throughout the school year. Not only are you a hard worker in the classroom, but you're also respectful to your peers and your teachers. You're thoughtful, caring, and always have good manners towards everybody. It comes natural for you to use please and thank you, which is something we like to hear. You're very special to us, and we are proud to have you as our student of the month this year, or this month.
There's that smile, Lily. I would like to present you with your certificate for student of the month. Congratulations.
Presenting the student of the month to the middle school this evening is Megan George.
And John Pritchard.
Thanks, John. And John Pritchard.
Thanks.
George, you want to go first, please?
Yes.
Since I'm about ready to die here.
Our student of the month is Marissa Snyder. I have had the pleasure of knowing Marissa since she was in fifth grade when I was doing my student teaching at the middle school. So I've got to see Marissa grow from fifth grade to eighth grade, and she's made great improvements. She's really come out of her shell. In fifth grade, I don't know, the 16 weeks I was there, she might have said five words to me. I mean, she barely talked. Today she speaks a couple more words, not as much. But I do see her. She's very friendly to her classmates. And she really works hard. Eighth grade can be very tough, but Marissa's very persistent, and she's always trying and to improve, asking for help. She's very helpful to her peers and to other staffs. So I really enjoyed having Marissa.
I've had Marissa for 2 years, and I guess you're not going to expect somebody to say, I hate you twice during a student of the month thing, but I hate you for being so good that you're student of the month, and I hate you that I love you so much that I'm here actually in front of these people doing this because you know how to do it. So you forced me to be here because you are that good. I teach more grit and determination from kids. Not academics as much. This student is grit and determination. She has it. She will be successful because of that. And I love her to death because of that. And nobody could have chosen a better student of the month than Marissa. So.
Mr. Shaner.
Well, I'm so excited for our last month of the year for Jessica Jagger. She's a senior here at the high school for her to win. She can see her smile lights up. Keep smiling. Smile lights up the room. You know, first of all, she's one of those one that kind of pulls a double. She's in both National Honor Society and National Art Honor Society. She's quite an accomplished artist in art club, physics club, member of the soccer team. She volunteers her time at Summit Animal Hospital, still finds time to work at Chipotle as well. You know, one of the things too, and I say this a lot to people because I know oftentimes people just turn on the TV and they see the Ohio State football team. You know, we're all Buckeye fans. Hopefully. OH. Right? So anyway, you know, we're all fans, but I don't think a lot of people realize how difficult it is to get into Ohio State. And Jessica's going to be studying veterinary medicine there, with a major in that and a minor in zoology. So you can understand her passion and love for animals and kind of where that's going to take her in life as well. And I could stand up here and just say all kinds of great things about her. She's fantastic. But I do have a real quick story that Mr. Bryan shared.
Oh.
With me. And, well, he did say you're fun to pick on, but I was going to leave that out. But no, this is actually a really great story. She, when you had him as a freshman,
yeah.
And then he asked you if you had a study hall when you're going to be a sophomore, and you said yes. And because he wanted her, he saw the potential in her. He wanted her to try to tackle AP World History. Which, of course, is a course that we do not offer at the high school. So the only way that she was going to be able to do that was to kind of do it on her own, with his help, on the side, kind of during your study hall time, and you actually ended up taking the AP exam, for a course that she didn't take, nor do we offer, and you actually got a high enough score on it that you actually get college credit for it. So, pretty amazing story. And you did that as a sophomore?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty awesome. So just kind of goes to show you one little story about Jessica and how awesome she is. So congratulations for our high school major.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll move on to item 5. And go ahead and before you recognition.
I'm back. You get to hear me again. We've been trying to do this for a couple months now, but I don't like to read much while I'm speaking because it doesn't seem from the heart, but I did want to read part of this because this was part of a speech that was given on behalf of one of our employees here. I'm going to be referencing Paul Stoneking. The William Rice Award of Excellence for Pupil Transportation Supervisor of the Year is given in the memory of past OAPT President William Rice to the Pupil Transportation Supervisor of the Year as judged by the OAPT officers. It is the intent of this award to recognize supervisors who exhibit outstanding leadership and professional conduct in school transportation, both in their district and throughout the state of Ohio. Our own Paul Stoneking was this year's award winner. Paul was described by his peers at that same meeting as always available to help with questions when needed, and that he goes above and beyond to help drivers, mechanics, and administrators, even in other districts. We're so proud that Paul is a great representative for Norton City Schools as the winner of the 2016 William Rice Award of Excellence in Pupil Transportation Supervisor of the Year. And I just personally want to thank Paul. It's my first year here. He's done a great job. You know, you come in, try to learn a new new district, as well as a new high school project, as well as you're seeing I'm jumping into the renovation and not have to run after Paul all the time, because I know the job's getting done correctly, is a huge benefit to me. So I want to have Paul Stonekin come down. Well, you act like you know who this person is. Now you get to actually hear from Paul. So I'm going to ask you to say a couple words quickly. And we all know Paul. And then he's actually going to discuss some other transportation things that have been going on in the district.
This was a very big surprise for me this year. Never expected it. And it was quite an honor to have all of that happen to me at one night, and to have this is just phenomenal. You people are great. But now, enough of me. I want to bring up some drivers. Again, we're back at it. School bus rodeo. End of the year, you know it's going to happen. I got four drivers that I want to bring up. And that's Kathy Duffield, Linda Linden, Jim Lowe, Sandy Lowe. In Ohio, and it doesn't change, it always goes up, but in Ohio, there's over 15,000 regular route drivers in the state of Ohio, drive every 15,000. Of that 15,000, every year, they can't compete at what we call school bus safety rodeo. And they perform at this rodeo. They do everything they do every day. And out of that 15,000, our region had at least 20 school districts in our region compete. 112 drivers in those districts competing. We had, from our district, these four was a team. Third place, their total scores. Which, out of all those people there, that was quite a feat. But out of these four, Kathy took it all. Put her in place to do the state rodeo competition. From each one of the eight regions, they take the top six. Out of that, 48. So from that 15,000, it trickles down to the top 48. Now, they haven't got all of the final scores in, so I can't tell you where Kathy placed. It wasn't in the top six, but it was somewhere in the top 48. So what I can tell you is that to be in the top 48 out of 15,000, that's number one. Mm-hmm. And, so every day these guys do what they do, and all of our drivers, all of our department does the same. Everybody competes, from the drivers to me to my assistant, the mechanics, they're all involved, and it's all because you let us do it and you help us and you back us. You would not believe all the districts in the state of Ohio that don't get what I have here going. It's phenomenal. And it would just actually, it would be unbelievable if all of you go out there and see what other districts don't do for these people. It's great to be here. So, congratulations.
We're going to take a brief recess to congratulate our students of the month and our employees. And it's interesting because when I first went to my first conference at the OSBA in Columbus, one of the first things they said to me is, "Have you met Paul Stonekin yet?" And they said that you have a wonderful transportation department. So congratulations to all of you. Thank you. We're going to take a quick brief recess.
I'm excited for him to lose retirement.
Oh, yeah.
He can't. I'm not sure what's
going on.
No.
All right, we're back from our recess. Before we get to item 5, now we're moving on to item 6 for public participation. And we have one who has signed up. And if you could, if you want to put it in, you're welcome to. Just before we get started, you have 5 minutes. And our secretary here, she's going to record it. But you just can't call out anybody by name. So.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And then
you can just state
your name.
My name is Beth Dillon.
And you have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for letting me speak tonight. And I just wanted to say, from some of the other students that were recognized, that, you know, mentioned accountability and integrity in youngsters, elementary school students. Mr. Pritchard mentioned grit and determination. I think that those topics are a good segue to my topic of the softball coach. I think that he instills grit and determination in his girls. I saw a text from Chani, a former player and coach. Thinks the world of this man. So I originally planned to speak because of his resignation. Many events have occurred since then, since the Streetsboro game on 4/26, April 26th, when he told the girls. And the thing that moved me the most about that day was because I see all these players, many who are here, walking to their cars with tears in their eyes. And I mean, it just floored me. If this man is these things that he's being accused of, his character being questioned, why are these girls have tears in their eyes, especially seniors who have had to tolerate it for 4 years? That just struck me as very odd. So I began to question it. Why would this be? Allegations of bullying and bigotry, it just makes no sense. Especially with the older girls. Now, I emailed the coach and the principal about the inequity of the allegations of disgruntled few. To unjustly label this educator, coach of over 23 years, was shameful and wrong. I'm sorry if I keep referring to my notes, but I don't want to miss any of my points. When I raised this point to those who took it upon themselves to go on this witch hunt, which I felt it was a witch hunt, and I will explain why, I was personally attacked too. I'm not going to share any of that, but one thing in particular raised red flags, and not just for this situation, I think it should raise a red flag for the district. I received a personal text message that if we can so-called call a coach to resign that has been on the chopping block for years that nobody could touch, could you imagine what we could do for other situations? So teachers and coaches should not be fair warned. I mean, you guys should, like, when you come to apply for a job, bring your lawyer in tow, because you're going to have to fight for your job every day. That's a dangerous precedent set. Who would come here to coach, to educate, if they're faced with fighting that because, you know, mom or dad doesn't like that Sally didn't get in this game, or Johnny didn't get to bat, you know, because his grades are too poor. You know, whatever. I think there's been too many resignations of the coaching staff here at Norton. And if we allow the softball coach's resignation to go through, we're going to slide down the slippery slope into a dangerous precedent, because no coach will want to come here. I mean, we're not perennial powers, but coaches aren't knocking down our door like Hoban and St. Pete to come here. But we have good teams and we have good kids. And I love our kids, but, you know, let's face it,
Anyone who can deal with 15 to 25 teenage girls on a daily basis, my hat's off to you. I mean, I've watched these girls play their whole lives. I've coached a lot of them. You know, maybe my perspective's different. I played at top level for a coach who owns a professional softball team. So I was a player. I coached youth in this town, and I coached high school in a neighboring town, and I know all the perspectives that you would have as a person. But I feel as a parent, it's my job to parent. And that's his job to coach. And that's just the way I feel, period. I mean, no one has to agree with everything a coach does, and not everybody does, but it's our job to parent our kids. We need to let the coaches coach, let the teachers teach, and let the administrators do their job, which is often a combination of the three. I mean, you got to parent, you got to coach, you got to teach. You know, hats off to you guys. So I'm happy to hear that he wants to rescind his resignation for a few reasons. He's a good man with a good heart. I mean, the message that I saw from that former player, I mean, it broke my heart. You know, maybe, you know, I know there are a lot more that feel that way. I'm not going to go into...
That's 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Bottom line, parents need to parent. Coaches need to coach. We as parents need to clean up our own backyard, polish our glass houses before we start throwing stones.
That is the only individual who signed up for 5 minutes. Is there anybody wishing to speak for 3 minutes? Nobody else? Okay. Agenda item 7. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Yes, I have one. J3, separately.
Is there any other additions or corrections to the agenda?
I've got one, Mr. Sands. On superintendent's recommendations, G, we need to remove 1 and 3. There was some miscommunication when assigning the summer work. And I don't know if we removed them. We have a for sure name to add there. Can we add that name now?
We have a definite fill-in on those, is what you're saying now?
Well, no, I've got one of them for sure. It's Kim Scarborough.
I'm sorry.
We can fill in, instead of Lori Bryant, we can fill in Kim Scarborough. And then we can take off Denise Marsek. There's one position at the high school here that's a second shift position that person's not sure if they can take it or not.
And what we're waiting on for that really is for the union process to work itself through, and then we would have that name and that person.
So 3 is completely off?
Yes.
Corrected agenda. Is everybody okay with that? Are there any other additions or corrections to the agenda? Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Move.
Second. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weller?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Under board business, can I have a motion to approve change order between CT Taylor Construction and Norton City Schools Attachment A?
Second.
Any discussion? the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Under board business, item B, can I have a motion to approve the sale agreement for three sets of aluminum and steel bleachers between the City of Norton and the Board of Education of the Norton City School District? Attachment B.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes. Motion carries. Item C, can I have a motion to approve the resolution approving a construction management risk agreement with CT Taylor Company, Inc. in connection with improvements to the middle school, high school, primary, elementary school, attachment C?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes. Item 9, approval of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the special meeting minutes of April 25th, 2016, attachment D?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Item 10, treasurer's recommendations. Can I have a motion to approve treasurer's recommendations, attachment D? Any discussion?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm
going
to let
you. Okay.
This is a five-year forecast.
Yes, I have a five-year forecast available. We're a little early because we only have one meeting this month. Don't have exactly all of the information, but we're giving it our best shot that we have the information as of today. The big thing that we do in May is look at what we had in October and then any changes that are necessary for the rest of this year and then any predictions that we have going forward. The biggest changes in our revenue, it is up $396,000 over what we had estimated in October, which is exciting. Our property tax collections were up $90,000. We had an adjustment in our foundation, which is where we get the biggest part of our money, and 35% of our funds comes from the foundation, which is our unrestricted funds, which is what the state gives us for each of our students. We had an adjustment for prior year student counts of $195,000 this year. We used to do student counts once a year, and we would count them every October, and then they would fund us for all of October. So if you had a kid here in October, and then they left the second week of October, we would get funding for them all year. Now they have like a floating schedule as they it's constant. They're always updating the number of students, and we get the updates as it goes. So it's kind of flexible when it's fluid and it moves as it goes. So the adjustment then, we used to have a lot of deducts, and then this year we didn't have the deducts. It was an addition to correct some of the prior year adjustments. However, going forward, we are down 30 students, 30 of our own students. And when you start making those calculations, that's a lot of money that we're down. So that affects us into next year for the money that we're going to receive from the state for that. Our other one that we're not, I'm not exactly sure if we're going to receive the money this year, is in our restricted funds. We receive money for catastrophic aid. This is money we receive for students that have some large special needs. Once they hit $30,000 that the district pays themselves, then we can bill the state for anything over $30,000. Last year, we were able to bill the state back for $130,000 for some of these students, and we received the money right at the end of June. This year, they just opened the window that we're allowed to go in and bill for that, so I'm not positive that we're going to have the money by the end of June. If not, we will get it in July. But I do have it in the forecast for this year. I'm hopeful that we'll get it. They seem to think that if we get it in, that we'll receive that money. So I do have that forecast in there. And then our other revenue line item, along with the catastrophic aid, we bill excess costs. Those are students that are educated here that actually reside elsewhere. They're either foster place students here, or they could be open enrollment students. And we're able to bill back anything that's above
the base aid that we receive for them. So if we have a special needs student, for instance, that's taking a speech class, that's taking an LD class or one of those, we can bill back that resident district for that money so that we are held whole in everything that we educate them for. This year, that number's increased $25,000. And then we had discussed a couple months ago, we also received a Medicaid payment this year in excess of $65,000. That's also billing for special needs students that qualify for Medicare or Medicaid. So we're able to bill for that money. So that's an increase this year. Our expenses, those are little changes in those. Our personnel is $130,000 this year. We had a huge increase of subs for some reason, $65,000 over what we had last year. I'm guessing it's the mild winter and all the sicknesses that we had. We had low attendance for students, and it seemed to work out the same for teachers and a lot of babies. So we had subs for the baby, or not subs for the babies, but subs for the teachers and the babies. And then we also added aides for special needs students to the tune of $40,000. So our personal services increased more than what we had expected. The benefits, we had 9 new employees elect to take insurance this year. If anybody's familiar with our insurance cost, it's extremely expensive. It costs $15,000 a year for a family plan, $8,000 a year for a single plan. These are employees that for one reason or another decided to join our insurance plan. Their spouse lost their job. They are newly eligible. They were hired. They went from 5 hours to a 6-hour situation where they were able to pick up the insurance. So that hit our insurance line item. Going forward, for the past, 4 years, in fiscal year 2013, we had a 2% increase in our insurance rates. 2014, we had a 6% increase. 2015, we had a 4.9% increase. And in fiscal year 2016, our current year, we had a 3.9% increase. Based on those, I estimated that our insurance rates going forward would be between 4 and 6%. The beginning numbers that we're getting from our insurance broker is it could be 9 to 10% increase in insurance rates. It seems like that's what the market is right now. I won't know that until next week. We have a meeting with our consortium. We've gotten a new broker. We're looking at some other options and looking for ways to tweak some things so that those costs won't go up. But I did put them in the forecast at 9% increase for the future years, thinking worst case scenario is better than let's be optimistic and then have a bad future. Our purchase service item line is down almost $100,000. $96,000 of that is for the gas cost this year. We had a great winter, although we had sick people. We didn't have to pay as much in gas to the tune of $96,000, which is great. And our supplies have decreased this year, just to show trend, is down about $100,000. So all that told, looking at our unreserved balance this year, we're much better than what we were at the end of October. Unfortunately, going forward, in October, we were looking at a balance in the black of $76,000 in 2018, and now it's $358,000 in the red. Hopefully, my predictions go the other way, and we can have better news when we come back and look at this in October. And I will keep you apprised of that. If anything changes, we can make some updates to this, but we do have to, by law, get it in by May. Bottom one. That's it.
Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Thank you all for putting all that together early for us, please. Thank you. Mm-hmm. A lot of effort. Under superintendent recommendations, personnel. Item A, can I have a motion to approve retirement resignation items 1, 2, and 3?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
I'd like to congratulate Mr. Castler on retirement. Have fun and enjoy it.
I'll be here all the time.
Okay.
I was just about to say the same. Congratulations.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item B, can I have a motion to approve the job description for network administrator position, attachment F? Any discussion?
I just want to make sure that the people understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Don, that we are looking to replace an outsourced service that we currently do today. And what our plan is currently is the cost is going to be a little less than what we've outsourced.
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. So we're able to bring in an in-house person, be better suited at a fraction but smaller expense at this point.
Yeah,
$75,000.
Okay. But we would be bringing in an additional administrative personnel.
Correct. It's a position, and we had a very similar position for quite a few years. It was in place when I started. We looked at the potential when she resigned to contract with the company, thinking that we might get a more varied skill set, because they offer different people for different things, that we wanted to try out to see if they could come in and help us out in that fashion. Hasn't helped us as much as we had hoped, and so we've decided to go back to having our own on set. And as Mr. Yule said, bottom line is it'll save us financially between $7,000 to $10,000 as well.
Do you think that this position will increase with any cost of having somebody in house down the road?
I don't. I mean, you never know what, how you predict that. The problem is, when you start taking a look at technology and what's going on in school districts and technology, not just across the state, but across the country with online testing and the demands of the technology world that we're in, regardless of anybody that you have in a position like that, I would say that if I was to project costs for technology, they would certainly go up as opposed to down. But that's just the nature of the beast, and it really not just in education, I'm sure across the country, and it won't have anything to do. This position itself will not create an increased cost.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
No. Motion carried. Item C, can I have a motion to approve network administrator contract, attachment G, Jonathan Steiner, 2-year effective August 1st, 2016, July through July 31st, 2018. Also approved 45 days prior to August 1st, 2016 for Mr. Jonathan Steiner, network administrator at a rate of $203.85 per day.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries. Is he here?
No, he's not.
Under item E, can I have a motion to approve substitute and summer positions item E through G?
So moved. Second.
And that would be the corrected one, correct?
Correct.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Weber?
Yes.
Motion carried. Under H, Can I have a motion to approve the following supplemental positions for the 2016-2017 school year, items H through I? So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
And when was your second?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, I'm set.
Yep, call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
I went to J, this is the correct one for Rob. Can I have a motion to approve under items J, 1 and 2?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Again, under J, this will be 3. Can I have a motion to approve item 3? Volleyball. Wow.
Is that you? Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Abstain.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Motion carries. Again, under J, can I have a motion to approve items 4 and 5?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Under K, can I have a motion to approve items K through L?
So moved.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please. Yeah,
sorry. Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovett?
Yes.
Can I have a motion to approve the stipends for the 2015-2016 school year, items M through S?
Did you say M or N?
M. You did M. See my word, M.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Under the consent agenda items, can I have a motion to approve items T through FM?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Dunn for superintendent's report.
Before we get on to some congratulations comments, I had sent out a couple occasions to see if there was any interest in creating a position, for lack of a better term, that we could call student activity director that would take the place of the athletic director. There has been off and on interest from past boards for this board on and having a full-time person in that position. With the increased responsibilities that are going to come with the new high school and facilities, I thought this was a good time to have that discussion and address whether we want to go that direction.
I think the first thing to discuss is the cost. So I'll take a motion if you can.
I have that email if you want.
Thank you, because I don't know.
Yeah,
sorry.
I brought it with me.
It was my understanding that it was going to actually be a wash, or almost a wash, in terms of the cost. I just wondered.
I'm sorry, I'm catching myself up again. This was a couple weeks ago.
I thought it was a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. The suggested pay was $74,000 for the administrative position. As it is right now, we pay a 20% stipend for a faculty manager, an 11% stipend for an assistant faculty manager, and 15 days extended time, which cost us $11,800, along with their teaching salary. And then what we have done in the past is we were able to hire a teacher that was teaching the makeup of the difference between what the faculty manager taught and then the rest of the day to make a full teacher, which would be about $27,000. So that total is $42,800. If we're not able to find a teacher who's willing to work 4/7 of a day, then a full-time teacher would be about $47,000. So then that position would cost $62,800. So we're looking at $74,000 for the athletic director or student activities director, as you called it. If we're able to find a 4/7 of a teacher to teach whatever it is that we would need them to teach, the cost would be about $42,800. And then if not, it would be $62,800 to hire a full-time teacher, pay the stipends.
What if it was an administrator who took that position, the AD position?
What do you mean?
Like when Howerton would have been administrator, can an administrator take that position as an AD?
You mean adding it to their job?
Yeah. I mean, we, given the format that we're moving into, where we would be able to reduce an administrator anyway, I don't see any position in the district administratively that would make sense to do that.
What would be the cost if it was, though? I thought it was $7,000 or $8,000.
Well, but here's what you can't do. They can't assign that to somebody.
But it's never been on, and we offered it. We haven't offered it up either as a job.
No, but understand, if that's a direction that you end up wanting to go, and you offer that to administrators already work extra hours and all that kind of thing to expect that you're going to be able to get the type of service that at least I feel like we definitely need out of an athletic director or student activity director, I think would be foolish. There's just no way somebody could do those two jobs well.
Dave, could you elaborate on student activities director? What are you foreseeing for the position so that everyone understands what we're talking about?
Well, you know, one of the things that we realized this past year was with the addition of the stadium and increased facilities, we had increased stresses on the athletic director position. Increased demands on our facilities, and I think as we move into the new building, you have to recognize that with a new auditorium and the drama area and all the facilities that we have, even in terms of practice fields and so forth, those demands are just going to go up. The workload of the person in that position, if we would stay with the same format, I would not add those things, but if we were hiring a student activity director, then I would expect them to be able to administer, oversee the things in the drama music department as well.
Is that $74,000 salary plus benefits, isn't it? Is that correct, Stephanie?
That's the salary.
I was just looking at salaries.
Yeah. So our current, the way we do it today, is $42,000 and some change.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of, and I wish I could support the idea of separating it out at this point, my opinion. But any dollars that we add, as I said before to everybody, is we're adding to a negative budget already. Adding a stadium and an auditorium essentially is what we're adding as far as facilities and a gym, a third gym. I think that, and I've reached out to other districts,
Highland has an athletic administrator that oversees all the facilities, uses online, you know, scheduling. As much as I wish we could afford it, I think, you know, I would support it. But at this point, I just, again, my personal opinion, I don't know how we can support adding another administrative position with the addition of a couple facilities. I'll use your words, Dave. It's always easier to add when you have the money. But at this point, I think you gotta kind of look at, we haven't talked about cuts, but we gotta do less, we gotta do more work with less people at this point until we can kind of get our feet wet and get grounded. I just my personal opinion, I wish I could support it, but I just, knowing the cost, you're talking about, if we do it as we do it today, and I understand that that's no given, that's $30,000 minus benefits.
You know, you're talking about a gym and an auditorium. It's a $32 million project. Mm-hmm. Nobody builds something that big without having someone to oversee it and take care of it. I know it's a little bit of an expense, but it's in conjunction with the athletic director. We've already had problems with the scheduling, with the this and that. And for us, I think it's irresponsible, really, for us to let the taxpayers pay for a $32 million project, and then we're just going to wing it when it comes to taking care of it. You know, we have done...
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, that's kind of what it sounded like. Oh, we just added a gym and an auditorium. I mean, part of our problem with getting a bond issue passed is we took really good care of our facilities, and people were like, you know, we don't need a new, you know, look at Cornerstone, it looks great. Well, yeah, it looks great, and we have taken good care. But we haven't done that without costing us any money. You know, we've paid for that all along with, you know, fixing and paying people to do that. So I think it's just a little bit, you know, I think we need to look at it a little bit deeper than just to say forget it, because we're responsible to take care of it, not only just to build it, but to take care of it too. And it costs money to take care of stuff.
Is that a student activities director's job to take care of the auditorium and the gym and the football field?
I don't know what the job description looks like.
But my point is this.
I think that's probably the wrong term to call that.
I'm not discounting that we are spending good money on facilities. Okay, I'm not discounting that at all. But what I'm saying is, do you have any other school? I mean, are there schools that have 5 to 6 more facilities than we do that the athletic director manages? I mean, locally.
Are they a full-time administrator, or are they
not all of them?
Full-time teacher?
Not all of them. The ones that are full-time are Division I schools that are much bigger than us, that have much more students. The ones that are smaller than us and that are our size have an athletic director, and it typically goes through an athletic director. There's several different options, like web pages, school dude, and there's 8 to 10 different things to help manage facilities. And so
somebody still has to do that. I mean, it doesn't.
But who did it today? Who's doing it today? Who's managing our facilities today?
Brian Miller,
right?
Well, I would say no. Actually, we're trying to transition so that those things need to run through our business manager so that we know what's going on. Because we have a lot of demands. It used to be, when you're looking at the other facilities that we had, he didn't have nearly the demands for people who wanted to use them. And if people did want to use them, we weren't so concerned about charging and what we needed to do to that to recoup our costs, because we weren't running out for having people use facilities like our new stadium. Now you have an increased demand, not only from people within Norton, but people outside of Norton that want to use our facilities. And so I think that it needs to be something that the athletic director or whoever's in charge there can work in concert with the business manager to make sure that all works effectively. Because the athletic director, I don't expect somebody in that position to set costs and make sure that the insurance forms are filled out and all that kind of things. That's what the business manager.
So Okay, and I agree with you. So if we have what we're doing today, and we have an athletic director, the way we're doing it today, not standalone, that person would be responsible for our athletic facilities. The auditorium, the other facilities could potentially fall in Jake's lap. I'm trying to figure out why we would add somebody, because here's my issue, is what hasn't been said, okay, further issue, I guess, what hasn't been said is the student activities director would also be in charge of athletics, per se, right?
Correct.
I think that's what he's proposing.
Right, so what the issue that I have with that part of it as well is we've heard from parents, we've heard from other people talking about resignations of coaches and things like that. If vice versa, depending on who the candidate is or the clarifications, okay, and I've said this already, is you can't have, you know, we don't have anybody that oversees our music and theater today, per se, as far as we have a band director and a theater department head, correct?
Correct.
And what we're adding to that is somebody to schedule the auditorium.
It's bigger than that, but...
Well, what more is there? I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I mean, you're going to have, we have the music practice field, we have, you know, the band has several different groups to use, need to use the gymnasium and different, so it's not just sketching the auditorium. Because they'll end up using other facilities as well. And in terms of, and it's a board decision, but in terms of people resigning and so forth, that happened under this format, so.
Right, I understand, but my point is if we have, it's a tough position, and just talking with other districts, and I'm not saying that we have to mirror other districts, but I try to look at situations that nobody else has brought to the table of seeing, I mean, we don't have to mirror somebody, but if somebody's got, if they're doing the right, just like if I own a company, I'm not gonna copycat what somebody's doing, but if they have a good idea, maybe I organize it, okay? But there's nobody that manages kind of sports and music together as far as one. And I will tell you, I mean, you talk to coaches, you talk to music folks, okay? If we have an athletic background person, and Cindy, I know that you're talking about an organized person. We definitely need an organized person whatever way we go, okay? But if you have an athletics background person to help with athletics, which typically an athletic director is, I mean, I don't know any in the area that aren't.
Typically.
Right. And they're telling the band and our theater department, you know, that they can't do this, they can't do that. That person's a bad person, okay? That person's a bad person. Let me finish and then we'll go on. Then on the flip side of this is if you have a person that has zero athletic experience training a new head coach, helping them be a new head coach, working with cancellation of games, and we're going to lose that athletic support from those. It's just like you telling me how to do my job, but you don't have any experience in it.
I have a question because maybe the athletic director trains coaches. That's what you just said.
No, I said if you have a new coach that has never been a head coach, which we're running into right now, okay, with some resignations or people that haven't been head coach. Yes, ma'am. An athletic director should help them, guide them down the path of this is what, these are the ropes, here's what you need to do, here's the league. Absolutely.
We can have facility directors evaluating coaches who have never coached.
Well, but let me, you know, we had this conversation before.
We have principals that evaluate Spanish teachers that don't teach Spanish. We have principals that evaluate gym teachers that don't teach gym.
That's not my biggest argument.
I think that's one of the big things, though, that Dave wants is this person to evaluate people because we have a problem right now. We have disconnect with that.
And I would not expect an athletic. We're not going to get an athletic director or student activity director that has expertise in every area that they oversee. It's just never going to happen. You're going to have, if you hire a football coach, they might not know basketball. If you hire a basketball coach, they might not know football. So having that person that's going to be able to talk X's and O's and evaluate people based on their expertise in that sport or that musical endeavor isn't going to happen. It's going to be those people that can evaluate and help the organizational structure and the process of leadership.
I thank you for letting me speak my piece. My biggest stance on this for everybody, more than anything, is adding costs. And I just, at this point, I don't see
how. I agree. I don't see how you can go from 42.8 to 74 plus benefits.
We don't even have teachers' contracts in place yet.
And understand that 42 is for benefits too. So you're not adding that plus benefits. And the only other thing I'll say about that is, understand too, that pick a subject area. For lack of a better choice, I'll just pick English. Let's say we have to focus. And so we want to hire a 4/7 of a day English teacher so that we can hit that number. Obviously, I think, it makes sense that you're not going to get the cream of the crop in that. It's just not going to happen. Those people aren't going to be looking for a 4/7 of a day job. So you end up hiring the full-time, which is the other number, which I think is more realistic, and it's still more money. It's still, then it becomes an $8,000 or $9,000. So I think that's what we're looking at, more realistic.
And these people that are going to be applying for this, I don't know who it would be, but I would imagine head administrator, certificate, whatever. They've been trained to evaluate people. But we're not talking, we're going to hire somebody off the street that just has a high school education. I mean, these are educated people that we have in our system or outside of our system. They would have a BA degree. They would have a master's degree. So it's not out of the reach that just because, you know, you're not evaluating what, you know, how do they know football per se, but how are they treating the kids? You know, that's, you know, are they organized? Well, you know, I don't know what all goes into, you know, evaluating them. It's not just, you know, I'm saying we're evaluating them as football, because there are, you could get somebody that, like you said, knows football. They don't know what golf is. They don't know what softball is.
Do you have any examples from other districts that currently have?
They have that specific combination.
I think that's what we need, is some kind of job description that falls under that.
Well, and the other thing is we need to make a decision on this fairly quickly, because we need to post this.
Well, I'll help you, because I'm not interested in adding administrative costs. That's three. Anything else?
I would like to congratulate the certainly the track team, for the boys track team won the Mogador invitation. The boys tennis team won the CTC, and certainly congratulations to Paul Stone King and the bus drivers.
Thank you. For your administrators, Mr. Dunn?
Yes, Sharon.
Just wanted to tell you that on April 30th, we had over 50 students attend the STEM Day at Goodyear. It was an excellent program. I'd like to thank Dr. David France, one of our parents, who helped us with the application to that. It was really amazing to see all of the businesses that were involved, and our students really had a chance to see some occupations that I can tell you that I had no idea were even aware of, that I was even aware of. So that was a great day. Also, last week we were notified we received a Martha Holden Jennings grant for $9,600. That's to support our summer book club. So we're able to expand that to grades 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the funds are for professional development. We're working with Akron University, their literacy center. So we'll be able to provide some graduate credit to teachers, and we're also able to purchase the materials for the program. So,
thank you for your
time. Mm-hmm. I'd like to welcome Jonathan Steiner to our district, our two-person technology team. And I'm looking forward to working with him and the experience that he has to offer. This is not the same John Steiner that was an art teacher here at the high school. I just wanted to mention that too. I had that question. That is not him. I also wanted to mention that we're excited about a website redesign. this coming summer with our renewal this year, and we have a committee that's helping out with that. We have a survey on the website, so if you haven't had the opportunity to fill out the survey, we're looking for input from parents and community members. I've gone to a couple of meetings, a meeting at each building, trying to get parent input to get suggestions on things they're having trouble finding on the website or things that they think might make it a little bit easier to maneuver through. We also recently recreated our Facebook page with the changes with the buildings and all that. We thought it was a good time to refresh all of that. So like us on Facebook, and that's it for now.
Just congratulations to the Students of the Month. Congrats to Mr. Castillo for his retirement, and Mr. Stone King for his hard work in the supervisory position for the Transportation Department. April 26th, we held a kindergarten parent night. We had close to 100 parents here for the class of 2029. So we had a really good turnout for that. This Thursday is a save the date, is the family focus night at Primary's Gymnasium. And once again, we have 26 vendors coming in to provide resources and services that families could take advantage of. That's Thursday, May 12th, from 6:30 to 8:30. So, thanks.
You probably already heard enough from me tonight, but this is, I guess, my 1 year anniversary of being hired here at Norton. I wanted to, one, thank you for hiring me. It's been a great year. Already seeing the transition of the athletic facilities over with the new stadium. Being involved with the soon-to-be transition of high school and middle school, it's going to be great. I'm really excited to be a part of it. I just really want to thank you for letting me be part of it.
Are you going to schedule us for a tour? Do we do that in June or July?
Yeah.
Is it a board?
Is it a board? We'll put a date together.
Well, to reiterate what everybody else has said, congratulations to the Students of the Month, and especially to Paul, who I don't seem to see here anymore. So I guess he misses that one. Congratulations, Mr. Castillo. I know that was a tough decision to make, whether you were going to keep teaching or not, so congratulations and go lots of pawns.
Thank you.
Whatever you decide to do. And the tennis team, phenomenal season again. You mentioned the track, and it doesn't sound like a lot to say the track. They both, boys and girls, went 4-3, but I don't know, Ryan, maybe you know how long it's been since track has had a winning season. It's been a long
time. My last year as head coach, but it was. I'm just speaking facts. But to have both boys and girls have success, it's been a very long time, probably 20 years.
It's phenomenal. The girls team last year maybe had 20-some girls. This year, they had almost 50, to the point where we had to get new uniforms because there wasn't enough uniforms for them, which is, you know, an exciting problem to have. So, again, I know I said it last month, but I want to say it again. Thank you for all the support for the stadium, to the community for that, because it is, every time we go down there, it's just absolutely fabulous, and I'm in awe. Even though I saw it being built and was part of the process for the bonds and stuff, it's amazing when you go down there and you see all those kids. When you have 100 track kids, and then the middle school's got 50 or 60, and they're running everywhere, and it's just so exciting, and then the football team's out there practicing, and the girls had a Powder Puff football game the other day, and I know you've heard me talk a lot, I'm sorry. It's just so exciting, it absolutely is. And again, thank you to everybody who supported that. It's fabulous. And then my last one will be congratulations to the seniors. Very bittersweet for me, but thank you.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thought I'd make it through it.
We'll be there. Mrs. Bennett?
Yeah, I'd just like to echo a little bit of what Ms. Hinton-Bush said. I was at a middle school track meet tonight before the board meeting, and some Coventry students were walking across the turf saying, "How did they get such a nice stadium?" I mean, it's beautiful. And, you know, thank you to Grace Church for continuing to allow us to use your parking lot over and over again for
track meets and for baseball games and things like that. Hopefully that will cease a little bit when our high school is completed and we have parking there. I also want to congratulate the middle school for receiving a $15,000 Alcoa STEM grant again this year. I mean, that's fabulous. So, and then I want to congratulate Ms. Hagenbusch for receiving the Auditor of State Award for the 11th year in a row. And just to read a little bit that we received from Dave Yosa, Auditor of State, just to explain this award. The Auditor of State Award is given to those entities that file timely financial reports in accordance with GAAP, as well as receive a clean audit report. The clean audit report means that your financial audit did not contain findings for recovery, material citations, material weaknesses, significant deficiencies, single audit findings, or any question costs. Not every district can receive that or get that. So thank you, Mrs. Hagenbusch, for doing such a good job for our district. And that's all I have. Congratulations to the graduating class of 2016.
Mr. May.
Congratulations to Student of the Month and Mr. Stone King, Stephanie Hagenbusch, and the bus drivers. I'm partial to the bus drivers a little bit. People know my mom's a bus driver. She just retired. Paul Stone King asked me. She drives for Copley, and she's driven for 40 years. And I know she gets up every morning at 4:30 in the morning. And I just know the work that goes into it and the stress. And I have a lot of respect for those bus drivers. So I think it's cool that we, you know, play so high on the rodeo that we do. So, and I guess I'm looking forward to the civic and graduation. So congratulations to all the seniors.
Mr. Yule?
Everything's already been said. Congratulations again, Mr. Casolo. I was trying to think of what to say, and I was going to talk about that time that I was in your class and I cut my finger off. No, I'm just kidding. No, congratulations and enjoy retirement. Congratulations to the seniors. You know, we were all there one day, and maybe me shorter than some. But it's a good time, and it's exciting, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to be a part of it. And congratulations to the Students of the Month and Stone King and the bus drivers. I mean, it's a lot of good things going on, so we appreciate that, and we're going to keep that momentum going.
Mrs. Wellman?
Keeping it short, congratulations to Stephanie, and tomorrow night's our honors banquet. We have 64 seniors coming that have a 3.3 or above, and that's, you know, there's still some that didn't come, so sign up for that today and tomorrow. But we have a great group of kids that are very smart, and we're giving away thousands and thousands of dollars of scholarships tomorrow night. So group of kids we can be proud of.
You took away my thunder because I brought Stephanie's audit certificate, and I want to thank Stephanie because it seems like we've become closer as we meetings come, as we talk often, and we go through the process. And we got thrown off a little bit, thanks to Rob, with your wanting to abstain, but for the right reasons. So we promise that we take this very serious, and we go through these agendas. And there's a lot, because these are people's lives. And the students are on here, the teachers are on here, and we want to make sure that it's right. So when we go through, and this was a long one, 8 pages. So I just want to thank Stephanie for helping me through this and making sure that we have all the appropriate things. And to the administrators, one of the things that when I became president of the board, I asked Mr. Dunn to give me a list of what they're going to say. So that's very nice that you take the effort to go through. You know, there's a lot of effort that goes into these meetings. It's not that we just show up and sit here. There's a lot of things that go through on a daily basis. So thank you for that. And thanks to the administrators, Mr. Dunn, for making sure that these meetings go smoothly for the community, the taxpayers, and for these students. And with that being said, normally we adjourn, but we have to go back into executive session. Okay.